action. That's why we named this church this years ago. We want to be a church of hope. Throughout the Old Testament, the people we read about were waiting in hope on a promise that was given to them by God. Last week we went over and the first mention of this promised hope in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan and fell into sin. God promised that he would send someone from the seed of the woman to crush the head of Satan. God expanded on the details of this coming promised Savior throughout the scriptures as time moved along. This promised hope was eventually passed on through Abraham and the Hebrew people, who we read about throughout the Old Testament. And the Hebrew people suffered many setbacks while waiting on this promised hope. Most of this suffering, as we read throughout the Old Testament, was of their own doing, due to their sin and due to their disobedience to God. But even those who were faithful to God, such as the prophets of the Old Testament, they suffered as well while waiting. But yet the faithful held on to this promise of hope. In life, we suffer some setbacks. Some struggle with sin, as the Hebrew people were doing, and it's destroying their life. That's a setback. Others struggle with things that happened to them and which they had nothing to do with, such as the lonely, those who are suffering from illnesses, depression, or just things in life that happen to us, like losing a job, being rejected, and even death of a loved one. The list of sufferings in this world go on and on. But this hope was finally revealed when an angel visited a young, faithful virgin girl by the name of Mary. The angel Gabriel came to Mary with this promise. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. And it should be up on the screen too. And I'm just going to read the entire account here when this angel came. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" Now, this fulfillment of this promise given to Mary was an echo of the promise given to the prophets long ago. We know from the scriptures that we just read that God saw Mary as a faithful, very faithful young girl. Mary, we have to understand, would have been raised in a faithful Jewish household at the time. And like all faithful Jewish families, Mary would have been taught from the Torah or the Old Testament growing up. She would have known of the prophecies and the promises of this coming King of Kings and this coming Messiah that the Jewish people were waiting for. She would have known of the prophets. She would have read verses with her family like this one found in the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where God gives this promise through the prophet. Isaiah said, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Mary might not have realized when she read those verses with her family as a child what they all meant. Like many Jews, she was probably waiting for this Messiah to come as a grown man. But now this angel of God is standing before Mary, telling her that this promised child is within, or will be within, her womb. And on top of all this, Mary's a virgin. Now put yourself in Mary's shoes for a moment, even if you're a guy. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a moment. God just revealed through an angel to Mary that this promised hope was now within her, or would be. And this promised hope did not come in a way that Mary may have expected it to come. Although God does reveal his plans and his will for our lives through his word, we have to realize that sometimes and many times we don't realize how God is going to make his plans or his will come about in our lives. Sometimes we don't see it until it actually happens. Through Isaiah, God indeed told the Hebrew people about this coming Messiah. And he even said it would come as a child. But many of God's people were waiting for a king to come in the form of a grown man. They were blinded by the scripture of Isaiah. But God would bring this king in the form of a baby, born of a virgin, just as the prophet Isaiah said he would come. This baby to be born of God is the one the world was waiting, watching, and hoping for ever since Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden. So I ask yourself to put yourself in Mary's shoes for a moment. When this angel appeared before her, it first stated that Mary was troubled. I don't know about you, but if an angel came knocking on my door or came before me, I think I'd be a little troubled too. It says that Mary wondered what kind of greeting or message this angel came to present her. I'm sure I'd be wondering that too if an angel of God showed up at my door. What's this all about? When the angel told her that she would be pregnant and give birth to the Son of the Most High, Mary was obviously shocked. Listen to Mary's response starting in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. She responds to the angel by saying, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now by the Holy Spirit conceiving this child through Mary, it fulfills the promise that we talked about last week when I shared from the book of Genesis, where God told Satan that through the seed of the woman, her offspring would crush the head of Satan. Mary was that chosen woman. And we need to also understand the ramifications on what all this meant for Mary's life in her little world. We need to understand that she was pledged to be married to Joseph. In Jewish culture, this meant that she had to wait for her groom to come for her when he had everything prepared for their wedding and for their marriage. When the timing was just right, Joseph would show up first to meet with Mary's father for permission to go through with the wedding of his daughter. This was a joyous time for a young Jewish girl, waiting for her groom to come. Joseph would have been off preparing a household, working to get enough money to support his new family. And while Mary waited, she would have been faithfully waiting for her man to come for her for the wedding. And she would also stay faithful to God. Mary was very faithful to that calling, to that plan. And now this news of this angel came, and Mary's little world appeared to be crashing down around her. Think about that for a minute. All of her plans were now being changed. There are times in our life where God is going to come calling, and he's going to put things or allow some things to happen in our path that may seem shocking at first, where we don't know what we are to do or how we are to react. No matter how much you have planned for your own little world or your own little perfect future, in your eyes, It doesn't always mean that is the future that God had planned for you, because God's plans are always better than your own plans, as good as you think your plans are. This was the case for Mary. What would she say to her father when her pregnant belly started showing? What would she say to Joseph, the man she loved? How would people treat her? Would they even believe what she had to say? In those days, a woman could be stoned to death for being pregnant outside of marriage. I'm pretty sure we all have a story to tell about how our most laid out thoughts about our future didn't go quite as planned. And the older you get, the more you begin to realize that to be the case. I used to want to be a kid. I think a few weeks ago, I said I wanted to be a race car driver when I was little. Didn't work out. There are some bad things, though, that happen to us in life that are also beyond our control. But there are many good things that happen that God brings or allows in our life that don't necessarily seem so great at the moment. Regardless of whether it is a good thing God brought before us or even something bad that came about because of this fallen world we live in, we need to learn from Mary and learn from the kind of faith that she had. And when you do that, you will never, ever lose hope. Listen to Mary's, after all of this, listen to Mary's response to this angel in verse 38. Mary simply answers, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Remember, Mary had plans. But God interrupted those plans in such a big way for her life. But Mary never protested. Never protested to that angel. She asked a couple questions, but never in protest. She just wanted to know, how can this be? God knew what he was doing when he chose Mary. Out of all the young virgin girls God had to choose from, he chose Mary because he found favor with her. He saw a faithful young girl and he chose her because of her faith. We don't know exactly how old Mary was. Most scholars believe she was just a teenager. But even in that short period of time while she walked this earth as a young woman, up until the time she received this news from the angel of God, Mary was faithful to God throughout her life. This is the only thing that can explain Mary's response to this angel. Mary was already living out her life in hope of God. She didn't put Joseph before God. She didn't put her father before God. God came first in her life. And it didn't matter how difficult the path God placed before her, she trusted him. She was God's servant, even if it meant death for her. I've heard it said before that Mary probably walked away from that angel fearing for her life, but I don't think that was the case at all for Mary. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it wasn't the case for Mary. Sure, the path before Mary was a tough one, but there was no fear in that faithful young girl because she knew that God was overshadowing her. As the angel told her, the Holy Spirit was with her and upon her, so she had nothing to fear because of her strong faith. And through that, she had hope that nothing would destroy her. God was with her. This is what Christian hope is really all about. When we look at Mary's life, it's personal too, because God is a personal God. And don't ever say that God will never put something before you that you can't handle. There is a saying I hear from well-meaning Christians that they say often that God will never give you something more than you can handle. Well, tell that to Mary. God will often put things before us that we can't handle on our own. Mary never would have been able to handle the news of being pregnant as a virgin on her own. If Mary didn't have faith and hope in God, this young virgin girl would have ran away in fear. I'm sure of it, especially in that culture that she was living in. There are going to be times in your life where God comes calling, and it's going to mess with your most well laid out plans. He does that often for us. But if you are faithful, like Mary was faithful, you can have that living hope, knowing that your best laid out plans are nothing compared to the joy of following God's plan for your life. In the last part of verse 38 in Luke chapter 1, it says that the angel left Mary after she stated that she was the Lord's servant and that to let it be so. The angel just left her. He didn't give her any further explanation or instructions on what to do next or how to respond to her father or her soon-to-be husband. He just left her. And the reason is because he didn't have anything more to share with her in that moment or at that time. This angel of God knew Mary too, because God, I'm sure, told this angel about Mary. And he knew that Mary would respond in the right way because of her faith. Now, I admit that when I read that last part of the verse this week, I was thinking about it. That would have been a tough one for me. That the angel just left Mary with no further explanation on what to do next, at least in that moment. If you think about it deeply for your life, it may be a tough one for you too. As I explain, I'm the kind of guy that often wants all the answers from God up front. Whether it's a good thing that God is asking for me or something that happened in my life that I just don't like. Now, I don't blame God for bad things that happen because God doesn't bring bad things. But that doesn't stop me from wanting to know why or how am I supposed to do this or go through this. God said to the prophet Isaiah, the same prophet who said a child would be born, he said to Isaiah this in Isaiah 41, verse 10. God said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Do you know when God said that to Isaiah, this prophet of old? It was right after God said this to Isaiah in the previous verses. God said to Isaiah, "You are my servant." And then he said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Just like Mary said that she was God's servant. We don't always know how God is going to do something in our life. He may not give us all those details up front, or how he's going to make something good out of something that seems so horrible, so bad, or insurmountable. But we need to be like Mary and trust him. Because God says, like he said to Isaiah, and he says to Mary, "I am with you." That is what makes a good servant of God, is trusting him and obeying him, despite what we see around us or how hard something may be. This is a hard lesson for someone to learn. It's been a hard lesson for me to learn. But the question comes down to not whether God gives us all the answers or instructions on what to do next. The question comes down as to whether we're going to believe him and trust him when he comes calling, or whatever this enemy or the world throws at us. Are we going to trust God? And once you can let go of yourself and trust God like Mary did, something beautiful will await you. God never lets us down. The problems occur is when we stop trusting him and take matters into our own hands. And even if we do that, God is still full of grace, and all we have to do is turn around and start trusting him again. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Mary did, if you read further, she had to go through painful trials even after the angel left her. Joseph found out that she was pregnant, obviously. But thankfully, being the kind man that Joseph was, he decided to divorce himself from Mary quietly, so no harm would come to her. I can imagine for a young girl how much that rejection from Joseph must have felt for her in that moment, how painful it was for Mary, even though Joseph still spared her life. When you choose to follow God's way like Mary did, there will be times when it appears that things are not going so well in your life. People may reject you, for instance, for following God's ways. And you may be wondering, has God abandoned me? But take heart. God never abandoned Mary. Even in that pain, Mary stayed faithful. And God stayed faithful by sending the angel Gabriel, that same angel that came to her, to let Joseph know that Mary was telling the truth and that he should take Mary as his wife. Joseph, being the faithful man that he was, did as the angel said. But there was still a long road ahead for Joseph and Mary. It was not easy. When Mary was close to giving birth, there was an order by the Roman government that everyone had to go to their hometown and register for the census. Joseph had to travel many miles to the town of Bethlehem to register for this census. That road was long and dangerous, especially for a pregnant woman ready to give birth. And then when Mary and Joseph arrived safely in Bethlehem, there was even more obstacles before them. Mary was now in labor. And we should know the story, most of us by now, there was no room at the inn. Can you imagine this faithful man, Joseph, running from door to door? I don't know if that's what it does. He doesn't say that. He says he went to an inn, but I think he's probably running through the streets as his pregnant wife's about to give birth, looking for this place for his wife to give birth to their son. He's waiting for good news, but there was no good news coming. There was no good news coming for a warm, for a clean and safe room for Mary and his child. Mary would have to settle to give birth to her son in a place where the animals lived. It was uncomfortable, I'm sure, damp, cold, not very clean. I'm just thinking of Joseph in this moment, this kind and caring man that I'm sure he wanted to protect his wife and his soon-to-be-born son. I'm sure he wanted nothing more than that safe and comfortable place for his wife. And he couldn't provide that for Mary. I remember clearly when each of my children were born, and it's an exciting time, yet a scary time for a husband and soon-to-be father. But I knew, and I was fairly confident, that my wife and soon-to-be-born child would be in good hands of the doctors in a clean and safe hospital. Joseph and Mary had none of that. They must have been feeling desperate, I guess, in that moment, maybe even feeling like they were in a pretty dark place in that moment. But you see, this was God's plan all along. They still trusted him. God was still with Joseph and Mary, even in that dark moment. God's son would be born in the darkness of that moment. God would have it no other way. When Jesus was born, the light of heaven was shining down, penetrating through that darkness of that lowly animal stable. This is why Peter, and all throughout the New Testament especially, says, rejoice in the sufferings, so that you may be overjoyed when the glory is revealed. The Savior of the world was born. Light was now shining out in the darkness of the world. And next week we'll talk about who saw that light and followed it all the way to that stable in Bethlehem. And I want to leave you today just with a few practical points for your life. Although the hope of the prophets and the Hebrew people was fulfilled in that lowly stable that Christmas night, this hope is still shining out for us today. The primary focus of our hope today is for the world that is to come. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." The coming promise of hope was first revealed through a baby that first Christmas night in a stable. It was like our first Christmas present. But Jesus is the present that just keeps on giving. Even after the birth of their son Jesus, Mary and Joseph still had troubles ahead for them. The angel told Joseph that there were people coming to kill their newborn son, and Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt, a country they knew very little about. They had no family. They had no friends there. Not to mention all the other babies that were slaughtered by King Herod because he feared the birth of this promised king. Although there was light in the world, darkness was still upon the world. But that light lived. And he lives today, still. No matter how dark things may seem in your life, there is always the light of Jesus Christ. Always. For those who follow the light, he is always within you, first of all, because he died and he rose again for you. But there's another promise of hope. The Bible is filled with hope. There is another promise of hope given throughout the scriptures, and that is, he is coming again. The Bible talks more about his second coming than it does his first. So set your focus on things above, not on earthly things. The next time Jesus comes to earth, he's not coming as a baby or a suffering lamb to be sacrificed or slaughtered on a cross for us. He's coming to finally fulfill that first promise found in Genesis. He's coming to crush the head of Satan once and for all. The promise of hope is still before us. That's why you no longer have to live in fear. For the Christian, Jesus is already within you. And even if you suffer for the short time here on earth, you can rejoice in knowing that he's coming again. Your future is bright. No darkness can ever overcome those who are in Christ. Ever. Do you know the Christmas carol we sing often? We'll probably sing it. We sang some of it today. "Joy to the World." That was a song that wasn't really meant to be sung for Christmas time. That's a song about the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just as the prophets of old had to wait in anticipation and hope in the first coming of Jesus, we too can anticipate the second coming of Jesus. And while we wait, we can wait in joy. We can enjoy the birth of our Savior, and we can enjoy some things in this world, like the birth of a child or grandchild, and praise God for that. We can enjoy our family and praise God for that. But even when we suffer, such as losing a loved one, we can still have joy. Because our Savior promises he's going to make all things right again. I can't wait for that day to come. Those of you who know Aaron and I well, I can honestly say that every day that we're here on earth, we celebrate Advent, not just 4 weeks out of the year. We're waiting in anticipation. And when we're feeling down or dealing with great sorrow, we look above as Jesus told us to do. We look above in hope. Because one day Jesus is returning. And what a wonderful joy to the world that's going to be. We should be celebrating Christmas every day of our lives. Let's pray.